Blog Talk Radio.
Doing good.
And amen. And Brother Gary, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks.
All right, amen. I'm going to go ahead and get started. On tonight, we are doing the second part of prayer and worship. We're doing fasting. We finished up prayer and worship on last week. And we know that, you know, the Most High didn't want us to do repetitious prayers in the same prayer. He wants us to be persistent, meaning that each time that we come to him in prayer, that we pray for the same thing, but he doesn't want us to pray for the same thing in the same evening, in the same prayer, if that makes sense. I hope I said that right. So we're looking at fasting, okay, and we're going to get in that tonight. So I pray everybody is doing well, and it sounds like you are, and so we're going to go ahead and proceed. We'll do our statement of faith, and then we are going to get into this lesson. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am chosen. I'm of royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise on today. And we lift you up, Father. We lift you up, we lift you up, we lift you up. We magnify your name, and we exalt you, Father, for truly you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You are our Elohim, Father, and another will we not bow down to and give our adoration to or our worship. So we thank you, Father, and we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. All right, all right. And what let me see you in the room. All right. Let me see where I'm at now. All right, amen. All right, are you able to hear me now? I had to leave out and go back in, come back into the room.
Or, yes, I can hear you.
All right, thank you. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, wherever you're at in the world, to the Tuesday night Bible study. We are continuing, and we're going to be starting fasting on this evening. Fasting is defined as a voluntary abstinence of some kind. In the Bible, fasting generally means going without food or water for a period and not merely refraining from certain foods. In recent years, fasting has become somewhat popular, especially in connection with health enthusiasts. It is thought that the periods of fasting help eliminate many toxic substances from the body. No doubt that it is probably true, and as such, periodic fasting may have physical health benefits for its devotees. There are different types of fasts that you can do, and so this is not a biblical fast that I'm about to talk about, but it's talking about you really should eat less times during the day, so you take longer to stay to between meals. So it should at least be at least 12 swing meals. So when it tells you to eat three meals a day, it actually does, it causes your body not to, I'm trying to think of what it was not supposed to create. I think it's ketones that tells your body to produce insulin, which tells it to, you know, send energy to the cells. If you eat regularly on a regular basis, then your body doesn't do that. But if you eat like every 12 hours, then it gives the body will create those ketones and tell your body to produce the energy. Also, for those of us who are up in age, then you need to start taking a vitamin D supplement. As we get older, the body stops creating. Anybody, let me ask a question. Anybody ever notice that their skin seems drier now than it did when you were younger? I know mine has started to be more drier and not as oily as it used to be. And that oil is what makes vitamin D with the sun. And so as we get older, our body doesn't produce that oil in our skin. And so it doesn't create the vitamin D. And it's important that we get vitamin D. And so, you know, just a word to the wise. For those of us who are over 60, we want to take a vitamin D supplement. That'll also keep you, vitamin D is one of those things that the body needs in order to fight disease, in order to fight, you know, colds and flus and COVID. So you want to make sure that your body has a lot of vitamin D. Now, they're not telling you this at the hospital. Things that I've been researching and found out that it takes about 20, if you're just taking a vitamin D supplement, it takes about 21 days when you start vitamin D for it to actually enter into your blood and become usable. Process through the liver, process through the kidney, then it goes to the cell. And then there's a vitamin D3 that is made available to your blood cells and to your cells within a couple of hours. There's vitamin D3 is hard to get. Anyway, sidetrack there. So this, if you eat every 12 hours, rather than every 8 hours or every 4 hours, however it is, you know, breakfast at 8, lunch at 1, dinner before 8 at night, then, you know, you don't really need to eat that often. What you want to do is eat about every 12 hours, and then the body will produce what it needs to produce. Anyway, the fasting that we're going to be talking about is a biblical fast, and this is where you are afflicting your body. Okay, so they're talking about fasting for health reasons, and it is good to fast in your life to allow your body to clean out certain things, just like it's good to get enough sleep. And then I'm, you know, finding out the importance of vitamin D in our body. Fasting, according to the scripture, also aids in a certain way. It humbles or afflicts the soul. So let's go get Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. And this shall be the statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. So this fasting here is to afflict the soul, to weaken the body and strengthen the spirit, okay, strengthen you mentally, and strengthen your spirit. And this helps to put the individual in an attitude of more receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is generally true that sickness and affliction are quite effective in turning people toward Yah. Perhaps there is a similar connection here between fasting and turning towards Yah in the most sincere manner. There are many people who will quickly testify to its merits. Yah gave Israel one fast day, and that was in connection with the Day of Atonement. Now, there are some other fast days, okay, that were given, like the fast of the 4th, the 5th, and the 7th month. But those were created by Israel for different reasons, you know, whether it was for the temple or whether it was for, rededication of the altar. But the Most High only ordered one fast day, okay, and that was for the Day of Atonement. Although they fast at various other times and various reasons, it was never his intention that it become mere ritual to fast. The Most High never wanted us to just fast as, you know, for ritual. Should not make it such. We may use it as an assistance to our prayer life, especially during the times of crisis or when grave decisions are required. Fasting apart from prayer and consecration before Yah serves no useful purpose other than deriving some physical health benefit. Excellent health is a worthy objective. Now, if you are, you know, pre-diabetic, if you got some type of health issues going on, then, of course, you need to fast in accordance with your health. Yah said, you know, only on the Day of Atonement has he ever ordered it. Israel, just like when, what is the lady named? She was, well, I cannot think of her name right now. But she called for a fast when I think it's Haman. Is that Esther? Esther or Ruth? You can call me on that. Called a fast, huh?
Esther.
Okay. Yeah, it was escaping me. I wish she called a fast because they wanted to kill all the Jews. Okay. And so we just know that the Most High himself, as far as the feast days go, the Day of Atonement is the only fast that he has called for. Excellent health is a worthy objective, but they that worship Yah must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. As a general practice, some customarily fast weekly from the preceding evening, starting either after dinner or at midnight, until dinner time the following day. Some go beyond the dinner hour. This is only a custom and is not binding on anyone. To derive the greatest benefits from fasting is to suggest that you choose a day that will permit you to spend much time in prayer and meditation with some devotional Bible reading. In the following passages, what was the occasion for fasting? So let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. The book of Leviticus chapter 16. And we're just going to look at some occasions for fasting. And we're going to get verses, Leviticus 16, verses 28 through 31. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe in his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. So this is somebody that was unclean. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your soul, and do not work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. So this is for the Day of Atonement. Okay, and as I said, people have been misusing the Day of Atonement, you know, using the Day of Atonement as it was intended, as it was not intended in the scriptures, okay? The Day of Atonement was for you to afflict your souls for ignorant sin, not for willful sin. The Day of Atonement was for when you were able during the year to bring a sacrifice for your sin. So let's say you found out you did something wrong, and it was determined to be sin, but you did it ignorantly. And the Most High said that you could bring an atonement, you know, bring a sacrifice to the priest, and the priest could make an atonement for you. That sin and that blood for that sin stayed in the sanctuary until the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, the priest would go in, and he would make an atonement for all Israel. And he would cleanse the temple with blood, okay? But your sin was not forgiven until the Day of Atonement. That's why you weren't supposed to work. You were not supposed to do anything on that day. Okay, and so a lot of people were trying to follow that. A lot of Hebrews were trying to follow that and not understanding how it works. Number one is for ignorant sin. Number two, the priest had to have the mercy seat. The Holy of Holies had to be available. The mercy seat had to be available. The altar of prayer, incense had to be available. And so once Messiah came, then the Day of Atonement really was not necessary anymore as far as for sin. We are told to afflict ourselves, and then we're supposed to reflect on what Messiah did in the sanctuary. But he is the atonement for our sins. We don't sacrifice animals anymore, and the high priest doesn't go in and sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Okay? We're to do that when we come to Messiah. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Any questions on Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement? And we still observe it today.
No question.
And we still fast. All right, thank you, my sister. We still observe it today, and we still fast, okay, on that day, and afflict our body, but we don't do it for atonement of sin. It's more so a memorial to remember what Messiah did on the cross and the price that he paid for us. So Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26, 3 and 26. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. Verse 28, and you shall do no work in that day, same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah, your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day. So you start on the 9th day in the evening, and you go through the 10th day in the evening. And from evening unto evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So this is for the Day of Atonement. You would, you know, not eat. You know, this stuff about people taking straps and beating themselves. You see some of these movies where people are afflicting their body with straps with beads on them. You know, they take off their shirt and they beat their back and all this kind of stuff. That's not called for in the scriptures. It is more so that you not eat and that you concentrate on what Yah is doing or has done. When we look at it from the book of Isaiah, he's saying that, hey, I want you to take a break from sinning. That's what the Day of Atonement was really all about. Take a break from sinning. You know, do something for somebody that is in need. Feed the poor. Feed the hungry. Clothe the poor, the naked. Do something for somebody else and afflict your soul by not eating. But when you fast, you're not showing that you're fasting. You know, you're supposed to fast where nobody knows that you're fasting. Let's go to Numbers, chapter 29. The book of Numbers, chapter 29. Let's get verse 7. And you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month a holy convocation, and you shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work therein. But you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yah for a sweet savor, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be a flour, shall be flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deal as to a bullock, and 2/10 deal to one ram, a several tenth deal for one lamb throughout the seventh lamb, one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Now, this priest is supposed to make all this, besides the sin offering of atonement, and the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering of it, and the drink offering. Okay, so again, we have three witnesses here in the book that the Day of Atonement is the day that he wants us to fast. I'm not saying you can't fast any other days, but there's only one directed by Yah in the Bible. Okay, the Day of Atonement, we must fast that day and afflict our souls, and we must not work. You know, so this is something that you have to plan. And we don't take these things, you know, I know the Christian world doesn't take these feast days as seriously as, quote unquote, we Hebrew Israelites. But, you know, we celebrate the feast days of the Most High and not the feast days of pagans. Okay. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. So we know that we're supposed to feast on the Day of Atonement. Well, before we go to 1 Samuel, let's go to Isaiah. Chapter 58. Now, this is Israel coming to the Most High on the Day of Atonement, and they're wanting to inquire of him. But let's read what their condition is and what the Most High is actually saying to them. He says, cry aloud, fear not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Now, he's telling the prophet to cry aloud and don't spare anyone. Show them their sin. Because they're coming to me daily to find out my ways, to delight in my ways, and as a nation that did righteousness. But they're not a nation that is doing righteousness. It's a nation that's in sin. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim, but they did forsake. He said, so you come into me like you have a right to come to me, like you are right before me, but you are not right before me. You are walking in sin. And you come into me for every day and seeking my ways, as though you have a right to. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Elohim. So they are approaching the Most High like they have a right to. And that they, you know, that this is a joy to go before him and ask. Let's go inquire of Yah about this thing. He's saying, but you come before me and you're in sin. Wherefore have we fasted? Now, this is them talking. Why have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? You don't see it when we fast. You don't pay attention to it. Why have we afflicted our soul, and you taketh no knowledge? So the people are saying, hey, we are fasting like you told us to fast, and you don't pay it no mind. You don't pay it no attention. We afflict our souls, and you don't acknowledge it. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labor. So they are fasting, but they are doing things that Yah told them not to do on this day that don't work. It is a holy convocation. You are to afflict your souls, and you not to find your own pleasure. Okay, so that's what they're doing. And then besides that, they're also working. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So when we are in sin, sin. We are in transgression, and then we want to fast to get an answer from the Most High, or we want to participate in the Day of Atonement, and we are having not been walking right. Then we're not supposed to fast on that day. We're not supposed to approach Him on that day. All right, see you later. We're not supposed to approach Him on that day, okay, because we are not right with Him. So He says, don't fast in that day like that. Don't fast to make your voice heard on high. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast? Will you call this a fast? An acceptable day to Yah? And you coming before me, you spread, you know, you got on sackcloth and you got on ash, you know, you covered yourself in ash, like you are really trying to afflict yourself, you're not eating, but you are in sin. And trying to perform these things while you are in sin. This is not what I called for. It's not what I want. It's not an acceptable day to me. So he's going to tell him, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke. In other words, I want you to take a break from doing wickedness and do good. If you are coming to me, why are you doing wickedness? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? So he's saying, if you do these things, and if you're doing these things and you're not walking in sin, then you can come before me. And so you had a right to come before me, and you could take delight in coming before me because you're doing the things that I've asked you to do, that I've commanded that you do. Take care of the less fortunate among you. Then afflict yourself. Come inquire of me, and I will answer you. So don't come to me if you're walking in sin, if you are in transgression, if you have been fighting with your brother or your sister or whoever, an unrighteous fight. If you are in transgression, don't come before me like that. And don't fast like that. And don't fast if you still going, you know, oh yeah, it's the Day of Atonement. I think I will put on my clothes and I'll go to work. That work, but you know, I'm still going to be observing the Day of Atonement. That doesn't work. Can't do that. And I've seen people do that. Well, it's the Day of Atonement, but they're at work. And, oh, yeah, I'm fasting the Day of Atonement. Now, this was before I understood. And, you know, you could be like, I can only speak for myself at that time. I'm like, okay, you're fasting. But I didn't know all the requirements for the Day of Atonement. So I didn't know they shouldn't be at work. I didn't know that they shouldn't be doing any of those things because then they're trying not to, you know, participate in any conversations. You know, at work, any subject can come up. And so they're trying not to participate in those things, but they are in violation of the actual day itself, period. And so we know that it's a holy convocation and we don't go to work. We don't do any labor. We don't seek any pleasure. And it's supposed to be even on the weekly Sabbath, okay? The weekly Sabbath, which I know we still got people that violate those. And when you have to, you know, because we're in the world, when you have to, when you don't have a choice, then you do what you have to do, but understand that you can go to your boss and say, hey, I don't work on the Sabbath. And by law, you know, they got to show where they, without you working on this, you know, the business will fold up. And truly, if that's the case, then if you get hit by a bus, what are they going to do? If you're sick, what are they going to do? So by Title VII, then you can say, hey, I don't want to work on the Sabbath, and your boss has to make a way for you not to have to work on the Sabbath. You just have to ask. And, you know, sometimes they'll fight you on it, but you just have to know that it's your right. They'll respect it if you try to enforce it. Now, when we are going to work on the Sabbath because we want to go to work, that's a whole other thing. A whole other thing, okay? So then shall thy delight break forth as morning, this is verse 8, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yah shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yah shall answer. When you do it righteously, then you call, and he will answer. He's saying, but I ain't trying to really hear you when you're in sin, and you're fasting, and you're afflicting yourself, and you want to come before me. I'm not really trying to hear you, okay? And I'm not trying to answer you because you're coming before me like you have a right to come before me. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from amidst of thee the yoke and put forth of, and the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And Yah shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste, shall rise up in the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, so we're not supposed to do our own pleasure on the Sabbath, the holy day of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him. When we don't keep the Sabbath, we are dishonoring the Most High. It is the day that he has proclaimed that we should rest and honor him in it. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then thou shalt delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yah has spoken it. So he doesn't want us to come to him in a fast, fasting for something, and we in our own lives are in sin. And in coming, like, you know, we just have the right to come. And it doesn't matter whether you are Old Testament or New Testament. It could be both, just Testament, the New Covenant. It didn't change. He wants us to be the same. So now let's go to 1 Samuel, chapter 7. Any questions on Isaiah, chapter 58? If you have a question, if you're on the phone line, you can press the number 1, and I'll open your line. Any questions on Isaiah chapter 58? If there are no questions, then let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, let's get verses 5 and 6. It said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Yah. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it and before Yah and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against Yah. and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. So the people had sinned against Yah, and they acknowledged their sin against Yah, and they went on a fast to get right with Yah. Okay? So their reason here is because they have sinned, and they are acknowledging that they have sinned. Now, we always have to take this back to Numbers chapter 30. We're not going to go there. But remember, when the nation had sinned, was doing something that they didn't know and they did it ignorantly, when they learned that it was sin, then the nation had to repent. And in this case, they fasted also. And Samuel judged them. Okay. Now, when they're doing it ignorantly, then there can be an atonement made. If they're doing it willfully, there's no atonement that can be made. So they're doing it in this case because they have found out that they have been in sin against Yah. Okay, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And let's get verses 11 through 13. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 11 through 13. Why are they taking occasion to fast? And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul. Now, the Philistines, what did they do to Saul? They killed him, beheaded him, and put his head up on the wall. All the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now they're fasting for Saul. And we know Saul was told by the witch of Endor. He went to, you know, he was supposed to have all the witches killed in the land. But he did not do what Yah told him to do. Yah told him to go and utterly wipe out the Amalekites. Kill man, woman, child, kill pig, goat, dog, cat, kill everything that they had because the Amalekites had fed, you know, and had attacked the wheat and the children of Israel when they were traveling through the wilderness. And Yah said, told, you know, Joshua and all the kings, hey, remember the Amalekites. I'm going to have you to utterly wipe them out because they preyed upon the weak of Israel. Okay, so he told Saul to go kill them and kill all of them to wipe them from under heaven, that they did not exist up under heaven anymore, and he didn't do it. He allowed the people to save the cows or the cattle or the sheep to sacrifice, and then he kept the king alive to parade around, you know, to show that I'm somebody big. And Yah said, I told you to kill everybody. I told you to kill everything. So Yah left him and wouldn't talk to him anymore through the prophet or in a dream or anything. And he got desperate. And he wanted to hear from Yah, so he went to the witch of Endor. Samuel is dead by this time, and she raises up Samuel. She does, necromancy. And she raises Samuel up, and Samuel says, hey, tomorrow y'all going to die. Tomorrow you're going to die, Saul, you and your son. And so this is what happens. He goes to, you know, Saul he tricked another king into acting like him. And when the men caught up with this king, found out it wasn't him, they didn't kill the king because Saul had actually tricked him. But then they just shot an arrow up into the air. Somebody shot an arrow up in the air, and it came down and killed Saul. Okay. So they take Saul and his sons, and, you know, they put them up on the wall. But they put his head up on the wall as a victory. And these men come, and they take Saul's body down. He's the king. He's the anointed. David, see, here's the thing that David understood. Saul was the anointed of the Most High. And David had a chance to kill him, many times, but didn't. David already knew that he's supposed to be king. But he knew that he couldn't himself come against the king, or else he was not saying somebody else would come against him. So he knew that Saul was the anointed of the Most High. Okay, so he wouldn't kill him. These men come and take Saul down. He's the king. He's the anointed one. And they fast 7 days because of how he was killed and that he had been killed. Okay? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. So they're fasting because of the death of the king. Now remember, Yah didn't order them to fast. They chose to fast themselves. And remember that you can choose to fast, okay, but there's only one day that a fast is ordered in Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yah struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Now, who was Uriah's wife? Wasn't that Bathsheba? David, therefore, besought Elohim for the child. Now, we know this whole story. David goes out. He's on the roof at his palace. He looks out, and he sees Bathsheba on the roof, and she's bathing. And he becomes very lustful for her. And he wants her. And he goes and inquires, whose wife or who is she? And they say, she's the wife of Uriah. Uriah is at war. So David, you know, calls Bathsheba to him. He's the king. She's not going to deny him. She probably could have said, no, you know, I'm married, what have you. But it doesn't show that she ever denied him. And she slept with him, and she got pregnant. Now we're at the point where Yah has told David, you have, you know, it uses a parable about this man with one little ewe lamb and this other man, rich man, that has all these lambs that he could sacrifice. But rather than sacrifice from his abundance, because David has multiple wives, so rather than going into his wives, and sleeping with them, he takes this man's wife, his only wife. And then he lets David pronounce the sentence for doing that. And David said the man that did that ought to die. So he pronounces his own sentence. And Nathan tells him, hey, you are the man. You're the one that did this. So David knows that he is guilty, and he says he has sinned. He doesn't try to cover it up. You know, Saul tried to put it on the people. But David takes, you know, responsibility for what he has done. Okay, now the Most High is saying, hey, I'm not going to kill you, but your actions have shown all the nations around you what you have done. And they're going to say, they serve the Most High. You have more or less embarrassed me and caused the nations to believe that, you know, I will allow this. So somebody's going to die. And it ends up being this child. Okay. David therefore besought Elohim, verse 16, for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So David is in sin. Yah has already told him that he's not going to kill him for this crime, but the baby's going to die. And David is going in and fasting and trying to go before the Most High on behalf of this child. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. So he's, you know, fasting, and he's praying, and he's crying to the Most High, please spare this child. It didn't have anything to do with this, and yada, yada, yada. And the Most High is like, mm-mm. I'm not trying to hear this. And the men in the house are trying to get David to get up from off the earth, get off the ground. But David is, you know, I'm gonna go before the Most High, and I'm gonna plead for the life of this child. So he don't eat, he don't drink anything. He is crying out to the Most High for this child. He's fasting, and it came to pass on the seventh day. Now this is 7 days that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. Now, he's on the ground pleading for this child, and they're not understanding David. That David understands that, hey, only person that can change this is the Most High. And I'm going to make my request known to him for 7 days. And the men are like, hey, he's going to really go mad now. If he was doing all this while the child was sick, what do you think he's going to do when he finds out that the child is dead? And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not listen unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, changed his clothes, and came into the house of Yah and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set up bread before him, and he did eat. But now they're confused. Wait a minute, you did all this when the child was sick, now the child dead. Now you're going to get up and put on clean clothes and wash yourself and anoint yourself and eat. Then said he to the servant, unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done, that thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive? But when the child was dead, thou didst rise up and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether Elohim will be gracious to me, that the child may live? So David is, you know, fasting and praying, but, you know, he's in the wrong. And the Most High says, this thing can't stand. I'm not going to kill you. David was really the one that should have died. But the Most High said, because you, you know, acknowledge your sin, I'm not going to kill you. But this child that you've had, you know, by this married woman in an adulterous relationship, I'm going to kill this child. Okay. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now, he has had, you know, he did some dirty stuff. He slept with her, got her pregnant, brought Uriah home from the war, tried to get Uriah to sleep with her so that Uriah would think that the baby was his. Uriah wouldn't sleep with her. So then he sends Uriah back to the battle and says, hey, put him in the heat of the battle so he'll be killed. And so he takes Bathsheba as his wife because he had her husband killed. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And Yah loved him. Now, David has done all these things, and the Most High is simply saying to us, if we come to him correctly, and by, you know, by all accounts, David should have been the one that died, not the child. But the Most High said David was a man after his own heart, and he spared him. And see, I think a lot of people run around today wanting to be David. Well, you spared David. Look at all he did. He slept with this married man's wife. He got her pregnant. Lied to him, tried to get him to sleep with his wife while she was pregnant so that he would take the blame for her being pregnant. And when he wouldn't sleep with her, then he had him killed. David heard that later on because of what he did. But the Most High didn't kill him. Okay. And so a lot of times today, we want the Most High to have the same compassion on us. But this is not the Most High's M.O. David was like a unicorn. Unique. Can the Most High have mercy like that? Yes, he did with David. But every other account that we find in the scriptures of somebody doing something like that, he didn't have mercy on Saul. Caused Saul to be killed and his son. So, you know, we take a chance, and I really do think that a lot of people do this. They try to, you know, claim the sure mercies of David that David received from the Most High for themselves. And, you know, when that's all you got left to do, then why not? But the truth of the matter is that Yah, you know, used to exact his judgment right away. But with us, he said, I've appointed a day to do this. So when we try to claim the sure mercies of David, that the Most High had on David, then we take our own life into our own hands. And we're counting on something that 99.9% chance that it's not going to happen. Unless you truly have the heart of David. So David fasted for this child. And the Most High said no. I already told you no. I know that you're before me fasting, and you're crying, and you're begging for the life of this child, but I already told you no. The child's going to die. And the child did die. And after the child was dead, David knew that, hey, there's no more, I don't need to fast anymore. Yah has answered. His answer was still no. He didn't change his mind. All right, so David is fasting for the things that he did and praying for this child, that the child, you know, and the child really was innocent. That this child wouldn't die. But the child ended up dying anyway. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. So, you know, you can fast and prayer and go before the Most High. But a life of someone's in the hospital, they need to be healed. You know that there's no way medically that they can do it, you can ask the Most High. But when you enter into a fast like that, it really needs to be a true fast. And David fasted for 7 days. He didn't drink water or eat bread for 7 days. And he still came back no. But he could have came back yes. And the Most High could be like Hezekiah, where the Most High says, I'm going to give you another 15 years. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the Elohim of heaven. And now, what is he praying for? Verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Yah, Elohim of heaven, the great and terrible Elohim, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And Yah has done that. We got some Jews that are escapees, okay? But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the utmost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Yah, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So, the children of Israel, who have been beaten by, in this case, this could either be the Assyrians or it could be the Babylonians. And they have been scattered. But there were some people who had escaped. And they, you know, Yah has said, hey, and I believe this is the Babylonians, if you can correct me on that. He had told them to go with the Babylonians. And some of them rebelled. And the city got beat down, but only the wicked were supposed to be left in the city. The righteous. Now, the Most High had the righteous taken out into slavery, into Babylon. And so they developed lives and stuff in Babylon. They were not, quote unquote, true slaves. But the ones who didn't go to Babylon disobeyed. And they are in... It says reproach. Reproach means blasphemy, willful disobedience. And I thank you, Yah, for showing me that definition to that word, because it makes perfect sense in this story, because they were told to go with the king of Babylon, but they refused to. And now they are in reproach. They are in direct violation of the order Yah gave. They are in willful disobedience, and they're suffering for it. And now Nehemiah is going before the Most High to pray for them and for Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the city of the Most High. And so he's praying that the Most High would influence the king, because he's the king's cupbearer. What that means is that anytime the king drinks something, he drinks it first. If it's poison, then he's going to die first. Okay? And so he's praying to the Most High to have mercy on these people, to restore Jerusalem, to have it built back up again. And so he's fasting for this reason. But these men are in reproach. They are in violation of the order that Yah gave them. The righteous, Yah go to Babylon. Yah submit yourself to Nebuchadnezzar. But they choose not to. And so they fall with the wicked. And he's praying for them that they should be spared and that, you know, Jerusalem should be rebuilt and, you know, acknowledging the sins of the people. Esther chapter 4. The book of Esther chapter 4. And look at verses 1 through 6. When Mordecai perceived that all was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice, a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Now, when we understand kingdom, you didn't come before the king dressed any kind of way. You didn't come before the king and petition the king dressed any kind of way. And you didn't come before the king with a petition without his permission. Esther is his wife, the king's wife. She can't even approach him without permission. She can't come into his presence whenever she wants to, because she's his wife. Okay. So Mordecai knows that, and I think this is Haman, but I could be wrong here, wants to kill all the Jews. Okay. Mordecai learns of it, and then he's now dressed in sackcloth and ashes. And the king is put out being tricked by this man, an edict that all the Jews should be killed. And in every province, whatsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping, and wailing, and many lay sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. Put on clothes so you can come before the king, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Haggai, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Haggai went forth to Mordecai unto the streets of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. So he wants her to go before the king to ask, hey, don't let this be done. And Haggai came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Haggai and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, and all the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether a man or a woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called. So Esther couldn't just go in there, not supposed to go just in there not being called, not without an appointment. There is one law of his to put him to death. So for her to just enter into the court, the inner court, while the king is in session, court is in session, without permission, without being called, she's supposed to be put to death. Couldn't just go in there. Couldn't just wait to after court and go see the king, you know, make, you know, go and let me go talk to my husband. Didn't work that way. There were protocols. And, you know, we don't want to have protocols today. We want to, you know, well, we're husband and wife. You just approach me whenever you want to approach me. Approach me how you want to approach me. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. And it's supposed to be all good. But, you know, there are protocols to everything. And we don't understand them because we don't read in the scripture. We don't read the protocols that, you know, are supposed to be followed. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. Now, when he holds out the golden scepter to somebody, it's giving them permission to approach that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So she's telling him, hey, I haven't been called to come to the king in 30 days. And you want me to go make an audience? Have an audience with him to state your case. If I do that, and he hasn't extended the scepter to me, the law of the land is I'm to be killed right there. Whether I'm the queen or some foreign dignitary, or one of his citizens. The law was that without this extension, to be killed. So Mordecai is fasting because he knows that Haman has, you know, tricked the king into making this edict and to kill all the Jews. Okay, and all the Jews, when they're hearing about it, they start fasting and praying because now here's a commandment from the king saying that on a certain day, all the Jews were going to be killed. And Esther sees Mordecai out there in the street knowing that, hey, you can't come before the king that way. Sends him some new clothes so he can, you know, at least come before the king, but he can't even come before the king without an invitation. And so when he asks her, she tells him, hey, I ain't been invited to see the king in 30 days. Walk up in there. But to save her people, that's exactly what she's going to do. So let's keep reading. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house. Don't think because you're a Jew, don't think you're going to escape just because you're in the king's house. More than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdst thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. So if you hold your peace, Esther, don't think you're going to escape the king's edict. And then if you hold your peace, then deliverance don't come from somewhere else, and you and your father's house are going to be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present at Shushan and fast before me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Y'all go fast. For me to do, you're asking me to walk in here without permission and knowing that that's a death sentence. So y'all go and fast 3 days, eat nor drink 3 days and nights. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Haman is trying to have all the Jews killed. He has had the king to make this edict. Mordecai is fasting and praying. Some other Jews are fasting and praying. He says, hey, Esther, you have the king's ear. You have, you know, are able to go in and talk to him about this matter. Hey, the king hadn't called me in 30 days. And I can't just go in there unto him. Unless he wants to see me, I don't see him. But since you're asking me this, you get yourself and the other Jews that are in Shushan, y'all go 3 days and three nights without eating or drinking. I and my handmaids are going to do the same thing. And then I will go into the king. And if I die, I die. Okay. Now we know that the Most High influences the king, and he hears Esther, and the people are saved. Okay. The book of Daniel. Chapter 16. The book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Any questions on Esther? In that scenario. Okay, no questions. Daniel chapter 6. Starting in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy Elohim, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. Now, we know this is about Daniel wouldn't bow down to the statue of the king, okay? And the men found out about it. They used it as an occasion to come against Daniel. And the king has to be true to his word. He says, Daniel, you won't bow down to the statue. That is my decree. I love you. I don't want to see you die. But I'm going to have to throw you in this lion's den. And I pray that your Elohim, your God, delivers you. Because I really don't want to see you die. And the king goes up, and he's fasting and praying for Daniel. But he threw Daniel in that pit. Okay? And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his Lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. This is the king fasting against his own decree, because he realized what the wise men did. And he is going to cause, you know, the lions, he's praying on Daniel's behalf. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to see the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elohim, is thy Elohim, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. So the king went up and he fasted all night long for Daniel, that Daniel wouldn't die. And it was based upon his own decree. But because he realized what the men did, and they tricked him, then the king went ahead and, you know, I got to obey the law. It's my law. Threw him in there, and then came down to check and see if Daniel was okay the next morning. Now, they have done this to Daniel, and Elohim saved Daniel, closed up the lion's mouth, and the king caused those men and their family to the lion's den, and the lions ate them. Those men and their family. Go to Acts chapter 13. Let's get verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord, or to Yah, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid up their hands on them, and they went away. So they're fasting and praying. It's not saying how long they fasted and prayed for, but they're fasting and praying for Barnabas and Saul for the work that they've been called to do by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So when we lay hands on someone to anoint them in their ministry, we can also fast that the will of Yah, and that the will of Yah be done, and that they, you know, that their ministry is blessed. So there are a number of other instances of nations and individuals fasting in the Bible. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Different reasons that you find people fasting in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 34. We're going to get verses 27 and 28. And Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So Moses is fasting. He's in the presence of the Most High, and he's receiving the covenant. Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. Verse 25 through 28. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Geba the second day, and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel, again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of Elohim and wept, and sat there before Yah, and fasted that day until evening, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yah. Let's see, I started the wrong verse. 26, 27. And the children of Israel inquired of Yah, for the ark of the covenant of Yah was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brethren? Or shall I cease? And Yah said, go up. Tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. So they are fasting because they are trying to go against Benjamin. And Benjamin took the priest's girlfriend, his concubine, which the priest wasn't supposed to have a concubine. But Benjamin took the priest's concubine and chopped her into 12 pieces. No, they didn't do that. They killed her. They screwed her to death. His concubine. He left her out in the street, and they screwed her to death. And then he cut her up into 12 pieces and sent her out to all the tribes. The other 11 tribes said, look and see what Benjamin has done. And then they came to war against Benjamin, but they couldn't succeed against Benjamin. And then they went into a fast. And then Yah said, okay, I'm going to deliver Benjamin into your hands tomorrow. But Benjamin was really kicking their behind until they fasted to Yah. So it's the children of Israel fasting to Yah against the tribe of Benjamin. And then Yah says, on tomorrow I will deliver them. Go to the book of Jonah. Any questions on that one? The book of Jonah, chapter 3. Let's see, verses 1 through 10. And the word of Yah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of Yah. And Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It means it took 3 days to go across that city. If you were traveling straight through, it would take 3 days to pass that city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them unto the least of them. But the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself in sackcloth and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king, and that his noble saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Mind mighty unto Elohim, yet let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And Elohim saw their work, that they turned from their evil way, and Elohim repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So the Most High told Jonah, hey, go to Nineveh and tell them that I'm going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. Nineveh was a huge city, and walking it took 3 days to get across it, in it from one side to the other. Jonah had walked 1 day's journey into the city and started crying to the city, hey, in 40 days, Yah said, I'm going to destroy this city. And the king and everybody repented. And Yah saw it and said, okay, they have truly repented. They have truly repented, so I'm going to repent. So we can fast so that Yah will what? Repent of, if he's pronounced a verdict, that he will repent of that verdict and turn away from it and not do what he said he's going to do to us or to them. Go to Daniel chapter 9. The book of Daniel chapter 9. Any questions about Nineveh and how they fasted so that Yah would not destroy them? Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, the year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto Yah Elohim to seek for prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And why did he do this? And I prayed unto Yah my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled and even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants of the prophets, which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to do to all the people of the land. O Yah, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all of Israel that are near and that are far, to all the countries whether thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, they have trespassed against thee. O Yah, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To Yah, our Elohim, belongeth mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against you. So again, Daniel is fasting because the children of Israel have sinned. And he wants, you know, the Most High to turn back his face toward Israel. Okay. So we see some different reasons in different places. Go to Luke chapter 2. And let's get verses 21 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, or Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yah. And as it was written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to Yah, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Yah's Christ. And as he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Yeshua to do him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed Elohim and said, Yah, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the light of the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophet, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, so a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served Elohim with fasting and prayer night and day. And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto Yah, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So we have Anna, who is a widow, and she's a widow indeed, and she's spending her time at the temple, and she is spending it there fasting and praying. And so she prophesies about Messiah, just as the man did, Simon. But Simon wasn't fasting, but Anna was. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Then was Yeshua led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungry. So Messiah did this to prepare himself for the devil, for Satan to come against them. And so he weakens the body that the Spirit would be stronger, and that he would speak only the word of Elohim to Satan. Now remember, Satan is coming to tempt him. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones to be made bread. And we know Messiah said, it is written. So we fast to get closer to Yah. We fast to become in his will. We fast to strengthen the spirit man. Okay, with that being said, we're going to stop here for this evening. Are there any questions?
No.
No questions? Well, then we will continue. We will continue. All right, thank you. We will continue on this on next week, fasting. What does Yeshua say about fasting in Matthew chapter 17 and Mark chapter 9? And then should married couples engage in sexual intimacy during periods of fasting? So We know that we shouldn't be intimate during those times, that we should, you know, agree to be apart during those times, not sexually active, but we will talk about those and read it in the scriptures. And then we will talk about fasting according to the commandments of Yah. So, keeping a fast to Yah. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Thanks, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise.
brother, Shalom family. Have a good evening.
All right, Shalom family. Sister Denise, Brother Gary.
Shalom.
Peace and blessings to you all. See you guys Thursday.
You have a great evening also.
Thank you. I will. I'm getting ready to go find me something to eat now.
Oh, okay.
I hear you. But it ain't that time yet for me.
Oh, okay. Well, you have a great evening.
All right, you too. Thank you very much.
Shalom. You're welcome.